Good evening, everyone. Nice to see you coming out this evening for that Grace and Hope Mission. Before I go to the message, I'd like to go before the Lord with a prayer. My Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come before your holy throne as a yielded vessel created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I pray that you would use this message, my Heavenly Father, to touch a heart of an unrepentant sinner, that they may see the grace and the love that you have showed to them through Jesus Christ our Lord, that they will receive Jesus Christ into their heart before time run out. Use me for thy glory, in Jesus' name and Nazareth, I pray, amen. This evening we're going to be reading about the resurrection. There are two resurrections, the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. Jesus Christ, speaking in the book of John, the 5th chapter and the 25th verse, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear his voice, the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." There are two resurrections. Those who are in Christ, they have life. Those who are in sin have damnation. We're going to read also in the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body, according to that which he has done, whether it is good or bad." There are many people think they can just live, do anything they want to do, without any consequences. And it seems like in a natural sense that they're getting away with their sins. We see how people can go out there, cheat, lie, steal, kill, and they have a lot of material things. And it seems like life had dealt you a bad hand. But remember, this is only the first half. You know, in basketball, they have two halves, the first half and the second half. And just because a team may be winning in the first half doesn't mean that the team is going to win the second half. But we're living in a society that people have really turned away from God. They got into self. They just got into a lot of evil. But they don't realize that there's coming a time when each and every one of us must answer to Jesus Christ. Now, in the Bible, in the book of Acts 2:31, the Bible speaks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:31, it says, "He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh see corruption." Now, when they put Jesus Christ's body in the tomb, his soul was not there. It was in hell. Why did Jesus Christ go to hell? To pay the penalty for our sins. See, when a person dies in sin, their soul will go to hell throughout all eternity. But see, when Jesus went there, it was for our payment. Those who receive Christ would get the benefit of Christ being in hell on their behalf. This is why when you look at the salvation of Christ and you identify that with other religion, it doesn't even come close. Because there's no other religion that can atone for your sins. Oh, there's a lot of rituals. That's a lot of dress codes. But there's no atonement. So why would you want to spend all your life in a religion that cannot guarantee you eternal life? Because one day you're going to die. And on the other side of death, you're going to pay for your sins. Or on the other side of death, you're going to receive your reward for living for Christ. It's going to happen. A lot of people was in shock Thursday when everything went black. But imagine Thursday was the day of judgment. You were out there, got caught drinking, and it turned black. You was out there, just came from a peep show, and it turned black. Or you just got through cursing someone out, and it turned black. And Christ came back, and you heard the trumpet. Then what? You have the answer for everything you have thought, said, and done. So we're all going to be resurrected back in our own bodies. Because in these bodies, we're doing either righteousness or wickedness. In the book of Matthew 27:52, the Bible speaks about the graves of the saints were open when Jesus Christ was resurrected. And he walked out to the holy cities. So this is how we're going to be resurrected back in our bodies, those who have died in Christ and those who have died in their sins. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, you cannot deny how you have lived. You know what you're doing is wrong. Your very conscience bear witness to that. But God has given us Jesus Christ that we can right our wrong before we die. Because you're going to die. You can go out there and pretend it's not going to happen, but it's going to happen. See, when I was in sin, I didn't want to think about death. You know, sometimes you enjoy sin so much that when you think about death, you got to get serious about life. So you don't want to get serious about life, you got to always put the death part away, some kind of, just explain it away and just keep on living in sin. That's how a lot of you people are. You don't want to think about death. Because to think about it, you have to get serious about this life. You have to make a change in this life to get right with God. But whether you do or not, you're still going to stand before Christ. The resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. Which group would you be in? Say, well, I got plenty of time. I'm not going to worry about it now. I'm very young. I've got a whole my life ahead of me. Well, that may be true. But it's one thing about death. Death does not discriminate. Care less about your age. Care less about your weight. Or your business. Or your profession or whatever. It will take your life. Then what? Then you have to stand before Christ guilty of all your sins. See, God hates sin because sin belongs to the devil. Anything pertaining to the devil, God hates. Anything pertaining to him, he loves. Righteousness belongs to God. He loves righteousness. How can you become righteous? By saying that you're righteous? By walking around with a Bible that you don't know anything about? By quoting scriptures out of context to prove to people that you're a Christian, that you go to church every once in a while? That's not how you become righteous. You become righteous when you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart by faith in Christ. In the book of 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Word of God said that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God by faith in him. So in this life, we're preparing for the hereafter, one way or the other. Those who are in Christ are preparing to meet God, because we know that God is a holy God, 1 Peter 1:16. So in order to be right with God, we have to be holy. That means we have to accept Christ. And when we accept Christ, we accept everything that Christ did on our behalf. That's why we need Christ. Because if you don't have Christ, that means when you die, you have to go to hell for yourself. You got to pay for your own sins. If you owe $3,000 debt and your best friend says, "I'm going to take care of this debt," wouldn't you be glad? Man, I escaped a bullet. Well, you owe God a debt. It's a sin debt. And to pay for this sin debt, your soul must spend eternity in hell. Now, God has said those who accept Christ, they will get the benefit of his death and his resurrection. That's a trade-off. See, everything has conditions. If you want to become a lawyer, you have to meet the condition to become a lawyer. That means you've got to go to law school and pass the bar exam in order to practice law in America. God said, if you want to go to heaven, you have to give your life over to Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and live in his righteousness. If not, that means you have to pay for your sins yourself. So you'd be among the resurrection of the dead, those who are damned to hell in the lake of fire throughout all eternity. This is not God's will for anyone. If God wanted us to go to hell, he would have never sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ could have stayed in heaven. He would have escaped the punishment that he received from his creation on earth. He would escape the whipping of the cat of nine tails. He would escape the crown on his head. He would escape going to hell throughout all eternity. To hell for the 3 days and three nights, which is equivalent to eternity. But he didn't do that. He knew that he had to come down here to live as a man, to be the last Adam, to be a propitiation, a self-sacrificial offer for our sins. And he did that to keep your soul from hell. Muhammad can't do that. Buddha can't do that. None of these false religions can't do that. Or they may talk about the love of God, but where is the love of God in Islam? Where is the love of God in Roman Catholicism? Or the Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, where's the love of God? If there is no sacrifice for your sin, then you don't have the love of God. You just have rituals. It sounds good, may look good, but there's no saving grace. We need that saving grace. Without that, you're just hellbound sinners. See, God himself wants to change your heart, because that part of man want to have that relationship with God. See, without God having a relationship with your heart, you're lonely, you're alienated. Even though you may be around a lot of people, but if you don't have that spiritual relationship with God, it seems like you just, it's something always missing in your life. But when you receive Christ, you would have this spiritual relationship by the Holy Spirit with God. And you'd be led by the Holy Spirit, doing the thing that is pleasing in the sight of God. And this is what God wants out of each and every one of us. Will you meet Christ as a Savior, or will you meet Christ as an angry judge? How will you meet him? Will you meet him in his righteousness, or will you meet him in your damnation? How will you meet him? You're going to meet him. He's either going to smile at you, or he's going to frown at you. You're going to meet him. Either tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting torment, the place in which my Father has prepared for the devil and his demons. But one day you're going to meet Christ. And those very words, either well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting torment, he will say in your face just before you depart from him. So what you do with Jesus Christ will determine your resurrection. You accept Christ, the resurrection of life. You reject Christ, the resurrection of damnation. That means God himself has nothing to do with you whatsoever. You have made that choice to separate yourself from God throughout all eternity by rejecting his gift, Jesus Christ, into your heart. You make the decision. God gives you the freedom to make that decision. It's called a free will. Romans 12:3. And if you're not willing to exercise your will to accept Christ, it's on you and not on God. You know, a lot of people like to blame God for the things that they're doing against God. They like to blame God for the things that men are doing against God in sin. But is God to blame when a person goes out there and makes a choice to become an alcoholic and die with cirrhosis of the liver? Is God to blame when a person goes out there and get involved in homosexuality and die with AIDS? No, God is not to blame for that. Your decision that you made, you are to blame, because you made a decision to go out there and disobey the commandments of God. So God's going to judge us on that last day based on how we have lived in this life. Now, we cannot live up to God's standard apart from Christ. No matter what you're trying to do, you can go out there and give all your money to the poor, you can give all your clothing to the poor, but you can never live up to this standard apart from Christ. Because it's more than just the outward appearance, it's the condition of your heart. It's a relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us. This is why we come up short. We look at the outer practices, but we don't realize we have to get our heart conditioned right with God before we can have that relationship with God. And the only way we can bring that about, we must give our lives over to Christ. So the Holy Spirit will take over our will according to the Holy Scriptures, and we start living the way God wants to live, be led by His Spirit. Remember the Bible said, for as men as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God? So your life is based on the Word of God. So when that resurrection day comes, you're going to know that you have did what God called you to do, which is believe on Christ and live according to His holy commandments. So you won't have no fear in your heart when you stand before Christ. Because Jesus Christ has that right to judge each and every one of us. He was given that right. You know why? Because He came to this earth, He suffered and died for our sins. Everything that we're going through, it, He went through it before we came here. He was tempted, but He never yielded to temptation. See, the devil is called the tempter. Anyone that come on planet Earth, he will tempt you. That's his job. His job is to get you to go against God's holy words. That's all he wants. He wants you to turn your back on the Word of God and live a life that is displeasing to God. Why? Because he wants you to die in your sins and go to hell throughout all eternity. This is why he wants you to live like this. See, the devil has nothing good for you. Nothing. No matter what he may tell you, it's always going to be a distraction, a deception, and always going to be death in the end of it. A lot of people get involved in drugs because it feels good. But what are you doing to yourself? That's slow death. You get involved with smoking cigarettes. And it may feel good when you smoke the cigarette, but what are you doing to yourself? Slow death. The devil will never let you know the end of the consequences of your decision until you're victimized by it. So God wants you to know that sin equals death, but Jesus Christ equals life and eternity. In the book of John 3:36, the Bible said, if you have the Son of God, you have eternal life. If you have not the Son of God, you cannot see life, but the wrath of God will abide on you. And God's wrath is this judgment that he's going to execute on each and every one who has rejected Christ in their hearts. See, Christ will not force himself on anyone. He has the power to force each and every one of us to bow down and serve him. But that's not love. That's it. I mean, would you force somebody to marry you? You put a gun to their head and say, let's go down to the Justice of the Peace or I'll blow your brains out? Well, they have no other choice. If they want to live, they go down and get married. But that's not coming from the person's heart. So God does not want to have slaves. He wants to have people that he can call sons and daughters that will obey him through obedience out of love. That's why he gives you each and every one of us an opportunity to exercise our will to accept Christ. He wakes you up for that purpose. Not to go out and smoke, to drink, and fornicate, and gamble, but it gives you another day for you to make that all-important decision about Jesus Christ. Because that's how much he loves you. He loves you enough to give you his only begotten Son who suffered and died in your place for you to have eternal life. Because he loves you that much. And that's love was demonstrated. Not just only love in just words, but it was demonstrated through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ would have stayed dead, then where is our faith? It's going to be in a dead man? No. A lot of people believe in dead man theologies, but that can't help you. Our faith is based on the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, we're going to start reading around the 13th verse. We're going to start reading at 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Then the Corinthians had a problem with that. You know, they were so much into the flesh, they didn't believe that a person could be resurrected from. So Paul was addressing this problem. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Vain faith, believing in something that cannot atone for your sins. Praise God, it's not that. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he has raised up not, if so be that the dead rises not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen? And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. If that was possible, we would be in our sins if Christ did not resurrect from the dead. We just have just another vain religion that may sound good, it may look good, but there's no resurrected Christ, so there is no resurrected life. Because you see, a resurrected Christ gives us a resurrected life. We have a new life in Christ. And without the resurrection of Christ, we just have another dead man religion that has no fruits. But there are fruits for those who have given a life to Christ. In my early years, I used to hang out in the nightclubs. On the weekend, I used to hang out with my boys to drink and go to different messed up places, house parties, and do all kind of wickedness in my early 20s. But I found that lifestyle was taking a toll on my life. I was smoking almost 3 packs of cigarettes a day, killing myself with cigarettes. And it seemed like the more I tried to stop, the worse I got. But when I gave my life to the resurrected Christ back in 1976, a change came over my life. I lost the desire to go out and hang out at the nightclubs. I lost the desire, you know, to fornicate and to hang out and to gamble and all of these other wickedness. In 1977, I lost the desire to smoke cigarettes. And I just give all the praise and glory to God for cleaning up my life. I couldn't do it. I tried it. I used to smoke those little cigarettes, trying to get away from cigarettes. But I still went back to the cigarettes, started smoking them again. So when we're trying to clean up our life by our own bootstrings, we're going to find out it's not going to work. Now we can be what they call, you can get separated from yourself. You can probably go up in upstate New York away from drugs, and it seems like, you know, you got the victory over the drug. When you come back to the city, you go right back to it. Why? Because the nature hasn't changed. But see, what God does, he gives us a new nature, a nature that's made after the righteousness of Christ. So you start loving the things God loves, and you start hating the things God hates when the new nature comes in by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. Because you see, when I got involved in cigarettes, I was a young boy around 14 years old. To me, it looked very, you know, cool for guys to smoke cigarettes. So I figured, let me try. I got sick doing it, but I tried it anyway. And I kept on trying until I learned how to smoke. But see, if I can go out there and practice sin in such fashion, why not practice righteousness with the same type of mentality, the same type of mindset? You know, when I first got saved, it was hard. It seemed like, you know, the thing that I wanted to do, it seemed like I just stopped. I lost the desire. But the flesh seemed like it was always acting up. They want to go back again. But see, the spirit is greater than the flesh. The spirit is greater than the flesh. And when the spirit takes over, you're going to lose the desire of the flesh. This is why when you come to Christ, you have to always watch what you see. You got to always guard your eyes and guard your ears. In the book of Psalms 101:3, the Bible said, I will not put no evil before my eyes. But you would like to do the things that is righteous, because now you have a nature that goes right along with the righteousness of the Word of God. So yes, those who come to Christ, they have a resurrected life. They have a new life by God's Holy Spirit. And that's for each and every one that want to get right with God. He will give you that new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things has become new. And that's the resurrected life that you would have in Jesus Christ. And this is why I know that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, because he resurrected me out of the deadness of sin. And he can do the same for you if you're willing to give your faith over to him. So that's what's stopping you from getting saved. It's your faith. You're not willing to put faith in Christ. You want to put faith in anything else other than Jesus Christ. God works through Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus said in the book of John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. Now you have a free will. You can go out and try it in other avenues. You can get involved in Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism. But is there any change in your life spiritually? If you look at your life 10 years down the road, and you see the thing that you once did, are you still doing those things? Well, that proves that you have not received a resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there should be a change in your life if you're serving a holy God, a righteous God. Your nature should be coincide with his righteousness if you are in his kingdom. There are two kingdoms that hovers around planet Earth. The kingdom of righteousness, which is controlled by Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of wickedness, which is controlled by Satan and his demons. So if you're not in the kingdom of righteousness, that means you are operating and living in the kingdom of wickedness. And your lifestyle proved that. But you don't have to die under that kingdom. You can come out of that kingdom by receiving Christ into your heart. In the book of Colossians 1:12 down to verse 14, the Bible said, giving thanks unto the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin through his blood. That's the kingdom that God himself lives in, the kingdom of righteousness. And we can receive that kingdom by the Holy Spirit, by faith in Christ. In the book of Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not food nor meat, but love, peace, happiness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So God has his operation on this earth by his words, the Holy Spirit, and also he has angels, which are called ministering spirits in the book of Hebrews 1:14. They were sent forth to minister the word of God to the hearts of the hearers. Yeah. It's like an echo that keeps coming back. I know back in 1976 to hear those preachers on 42nd Street, but I didn't want to pay too much attention to them. Just walk by and I'm in my thing, you know, and just look at them and, you know, okay, fine, it sounds good to you. It's not for me. And I just kept walking, you know. But when I got home, it seemed like it kept echoing back in my head. So that's what the minister spirit does. It would get the word of God and it would convict you and minister to you to bring you to the saving grace of Christ. You get to the end of yourself, you see that you're really going wrong, and then you get it right by faith in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. You can switch over. You can get it right before you die. And God himself, through Jesus Christ, through the death and the resurrection of Christ, has given each and every one of us an opportunity to do that before we pass on. But it's up to you. He will not force this on you. There are a lot of people, they may know about the salvation of Christ, but they're not willing to submit to Jesus Christ to receive it, because they're not willing to give up the way they're living. You're going to give up the way you're living, dear friend, when death takes your life. Better to do it now by exercising your will in Christ than keep on living in sin, and death will separate you from your sin. But the difference is, you're going to have to give account of your sins on the last day when you stand before Christ. That's the difference. If you give it over now and receive Christ, all of those sins will be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 John 1:7, the Bible said, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we would have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, will cleanse us from all sins. You can know where you're going to spend eternity when you give your life over to Christ. And many people say, well, you don't know what's going to happen after death. The Bible tells you that. God will not lie to you. He lets you know that those who die in Christ will go to heaven. Those who die in their sins will go to hell. Very plain and simple. In the book of 1 John 5:13, the Bible said, these things are written that ye may know you have eternal life if you believe in Jesus Christ. Eternal life means your soul will spend eternity in heaven. In the book of Psalms 9:17, the Bible said that the wicked shall be condemned to hell and all the nation has forgotten God. Very simple. Those who die in sin will go to hell. Those who die in Christ will go to heaven. We all going to be resurrected on that last day. The resurrection of the just, those who live for Christ, resurrection of them, those who have lived for the passing pleasures of sin. So which will it be for you? You can make that decision right now. Will it be the resurrection of life? If you have not received Christ, do so by coming up and kneeling down and praying a prayer. We call it the sinner's prayer, according to the book of Romans 10:9-10. You can make a difference in your life today. You can have a new beginning in Christ this evening. But it's up to you. God has given you that free will, that choice to choose. Or you can say, I'm going to take my chances. I've been in this religion for a long time. It's been in my family. I'm not willing to give it up just yet. You can do that. But on the other side of death, you're going to realize you made a wrong decision. You know, Jesus Christ is speaking about the rich man in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter. Now, when he lived on the earth, he was probably not concerned about the things of God. Most rich people aren't. They're just concerned about making more money. But after the rich man died, if you notice in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, he had a missionary spirit. He was concerned about his brothers. He wanted to warn his brothers about this place called hell. Well, that's what a missionary does. Warns you about God's judgment, hoping that you make the right decision to escape God's judgment by receiving Christ. So you can hold on to your lifestyle, but you're going to give it up at the point of death. And you've got to pay for it throughout all eternity. Or you can turn your life over to Christ, and his death and resurrection will erase everything you've ever thought, said, or done against God. That's wonderful. To have a clean slate before a holy and righteous God, even though you don't deserve it. Nobody deserves grace. That's why it's called grace. It's something that God has given out of his own love that he wants you to have. And you can receive it. You can have Christ if you just acknowledge that you are a sinner that's in need of his salvation. You can have it. Or you can say, well, he's not for me. He's for the white man. I'm just going to keep on believing in Islam. But it's no such thing as white or black with God. It's no color with God. It's not about race. It's about grace. It's not about skin, it's about sin. Christ came to deal with the sin issue, not the skin issue, the sin issue. Because it's because of sin that man was separated from God. And when man received Christ, he's back in fellowship with God. So don't be deceived with all this talk about skin and race. It's not about those things. It's about getting right with God when you turn your life over to Christ. Because you see, in eternity, we are going to be the same in a spiritual sense. We're all going to have the same soul. Soul has no color. Your spirit has no color. The only thing that has color is your flesh. Only for the atmospheric purposes, for this earthly life, that's all. That's why Jesus Christ actually put down the flesh when he said in the book of John 6:63, the flesh, nothing. He wasn't trying to exalt the flesh. He said, there's no profit in the flesh. It's just only for this earthly life. You're living in this life, you're living on earth, so the flesh came from the earth for you to live on the earth. But when you die, it's going to go back into dirt. Then the soul part of you will live on forever. That's the most important part. That's the part you're going to have to, that's going to be there before the judgment seat of Christ. So how would you stand? Will you stand in his righteousness or will you stand in your sins? As I said before, those who want to get right with God, you can come up and do so now. Are people going to talk about you? They're going to call you a holy roller? They're going to call you a Jesus fanatic? That's all right, too. They talked about Jesus Christ. But you know what? What people say about you don't make you. Remember that. What God says about you will determine your eternal destination. So receive the resurrected Christ and into your heart. Let him show you a new life, a better life. A better life that's lived on this earth. You don't have to have $1 million to be happy. You don't have to have $1 zillion to have peace. Rich people don't have any peace. They have a lot of worries. You know why they worry? Because they can become poor and they know it overnight. That's why they worry. They can lose their riches and become nothing but a poor man. But you see, you can never lose what you have in Christ. He will keep you, and he will keep that which God has given unto him throughout all eternity. So make a decision. By not coming up, by not receiving Christ, you made your decision already. By coming up and receiving Christ, you'll make the right decision about eternal life. So let the resurrected Christ come into your heart and resurrect you out of the death of sin. Sin equals death, Jesus Christ equals life. Have that life in Christ throughout all eternity. Tonight we're going to be singing from hymn 226. He lives. He can live in your heart if you invite him in. If you're not willing to invite him in, he will not live in your heart. Christ is that light that will shine in your heart throughout all eternity. And God wants this for each and every one of us. The resurrection of death and the resurrection of life. The resurrected life in Christ can be yours if you accept Christ. A damnation would be yours if you reject Christ. All stand, please. We're going to be singing from hymn number 226.
I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man they say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. I I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing shall come at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
This resurrected Christ, the songwriter said, the day of his appearing shall come at last. A young Jewish man on Thursday, after the lights went out, approached us. As you know, we're street preachers. And he asked, well, is this the rapture? Has Jesus returned and taken his saints? Well, obviously not, because we were still there. But I told the young man, no, no, this isn't the rapture. But what if it had been the rapture? Would you been ready? Because the scriptures clearly teach the day of his appearing shall come. It seems like it will never happen. Remember, some of us, when we were 15, it seemed like we would never turn 50. Amen. But that day did come.
Oh, yeah. Finally came.
The day of Jesus' return will come at an hour when you think not. Just like when the lights went out, it caught a lot of people by surprise. And the Bible tells us there'll be two working in the field. One shall be taken and the other left behind. What if it had been the day Jesus returned? Would you have been taken, or would you have been left behind? Well, if you want to be amongst the group that will go up to meet the Lord in the air in peace, to live with him forever in heaven, then you got to make the decision to repent and receive him into your heart. So as we sing this last verse, you can get on board that gospel train. You can be sure you'll be in that number when the saints go marching in, when Jesus returns for his own. Come on up to the altar. Give your life to Jesus. Don't be amongst those who will be left behind.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ your King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good, so kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives.
The closing prayer by Brother Nathaniel.
When we get God, when the eyes close, Lord, I pray for that special person, or the person that still don't know Jesus in a personal relationship. Pray for those who are still rebellious, disobedient, and filled with sin, that Lord, they will realize and acknowledge that they are sinners in need of a Savior. And I pray that they will humble themselves before you, Father, and just repent of their sins and turn from their wicked deeds, Lord. And I pray that with honest and sincere hearts that they will make full and complete surrender to you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord God, I pray tonight that you would have mercy on them and forgive them of their sins and their iniquities. And I pray, Lord, that you will cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray that you will teach them your ways, and I pray that you will lead them and guide them in truth. And I pray that you will shower them with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And Lord God, I pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit and draw them nearer to yourself, Holy Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray tonight that you will bless the food, and I pray that it will nourish our bodies, Lord. And I pray that everyone will get to their destination safely. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Johnny Cash.